comes the sun, I say it's alright. Little darling, it's been a long, cold, lonely winter. Little darling, it feels like years since it's been here. Here comes the sun. Here comes the sun, and I say, it's alright.
Oh yeah, a little bit of George Harrison. That was a great song, Here Comes the Sun. One of my favorites. Good morning, welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my buddy Big Ed Davis, thank you for joining us today. It is Friday, July the 28th already. We got a lot going on. We're going to be talking in a few minutes with Kyle Brosnan of the Heritage Foundation about the Hunter Biden plea deal on his income tax evasion and his gun charges. Heritage had initially opposed the deal, and Kyle is going to tell us why, so stay tuned for that in just a few minutes. And Donald Trump gets additional charges tacked onto his classified documents probe. We're going to take a look and see whether there's any good reason for it, so stay tuned for that. And a look at how one of the 20th century's greatest political minds and political authors, Ayn Rand, how she predicted America's current political crisis. I think it's very interesting. Please stay tuned for that as well. And in our ultimate top 10, we got a good one. The top 10 vacation spots that Americans are flocking to this summer. Let's see if Ed knows what is number one. By the way, Freedom Works is sponsored by Andrew's Master Barbershop. Hey guys, best place in Tampa Bay that I have ever found for my haircut. Great price, too. It's in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Andrew's Master Barbershop. Call first for your appointment, please. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, 727-733-3773. And we are sponsored in also by Arbor Life Tree Service. Whether it's tree enhancement, tree removal, stump grinding, whatever it having to do with trees, let me tell you, I've used them. Arbor Life is Tampa Bay's premier tree service company. Call them today for a free estimate, 727-330-1999. All right, so let's start off with what I think is some good news this morning. It's been such bad news. People getting, you know, in all kinds of trouble. But the Supreme Court has struck down a lower court ruling from earlier this month that blocked the construction of the Mountain Valley Pipeline. They're allowing it to proceed. In a short unsigned order issued yesterday morning, the Supreme Court vacated a stay order earlier this month from the U.S. Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals, in which that lower court sided with the plaintiffs, which was an environmental group, the Wilderness Society, and also Appalachian Voices, which sued to stop the pipeline. Not quite sure what they were stopped wanting to stop it for. It's usually because it's on some sort of sanctuary grounds of Native Americans or the yellow-crested blue-bonnet spider is going to be affected. It's one of those two, right? Anyway, days after the lower court ruling on July 14th, the pipeline's developer asked the Supreme Court to vacate the stay. Senator Joe Manchin, by the way, a big proponent of the pipeline. He played a role in securing its creation in the Fiscal Responsibility Act. He said, the Supreme Court has spoken. This decision to let the construction of the Mountain Valley Pipeline move forward, correct one. Said, I'm relieved that the highest court in the land has upheld the law that Congress passed. You know, we can be the number one producer of energy in the world if we wanted to. That idiot in the White House wouldn't continue to stomp down on pipelines and on fossil fuel and on fracking, you know, and all of the things. And we do it in a good way. We are one of the world's, you know, when it comes to pollution, we're one of the best at trying to stop pollution.
Well, this, you have to realize the same ones that are trying to stop the fossil fuels are saying that we're not using the reusable energy fast enough. And we shouldn't be using so much fossil fuels, except you own a, if you own a hot tub and you need to keep it hot. I found that out yesterday morning.
Yes. You did?
Yeah.
What happened?
So you need to, we need to stop using fossil fuels, but I got to keep my hot tub good and hot.
Oh, are we talking about our buddies?
And that requires, and you know, hot tubs, they're not cheap with the heat. They use 220 to heat them up.
It takes a lot of energy to heat up. It really does.
Not to mention it's all that expensive fossil fuel it takes to get to the radio station and back.
I know where you're going. Our buddies at 10 o'clock on Thursdays. But so this is good news. In the meantime, poor old Donald Trump. If I was Donald Trump, I'd say, the hell with this. I don't need this trouble.
Well, that's what they want.
Of course they do. It just makes him, you know, stand his ground even tougher. Former President Trump charged with an additional count of willful retention of a national document, I guess. Two new obstruction counts. You know, come on. They're not going to do anything. This is not going to do. He's not going to jail for this.
Well, no. And
he is not going. Let's just cut to the chase.
Somebody
he's not
said,
going to jail for this.
Somebody else said yesterday, I don't know why these MAGA people keep digging in deeper and standing behind this guy and standing behind this guy. Because we've figured it out. We figured it out. This is just a bunch of crap. We know what's going on here. And meanwhile, when we get Kyle on, he'll be talking about Hunter Biden, who was brought up yesterday with the gun charge. It's not like he shot somebody or anything like that.
No. There you go.
What's the deal with Hunter Biden?
Yeah, he didn't kill anybody. So what are we going after?
It's not like he shot anybody.
Oh, Lord, oh, Lord, oh, Lord. So anyway, a grand jury, let's see here. Of course, you know, Donald is saying this is all hogwash. And they're even going after his gardener.
Yeah.
Or somebody that works in the maintenance for him.
Yes, there is.
Come on.
There is a woman that dated a guy's brother who was dating another man who divorced this woman that was separated by birth.
Yes.
Heard a phone call from a phone booth about 3 years ago.
I mean, come on. You know, they try to intimidate people because they want them to turn on Trump. So they indict this poor guy. He doesn't even have a lawyer. You know, and he's working on a shrub somewhere, and Trump possibly asked him to move a document from one room to another, so now this guy's got the threat of a jail sentence coming. It's so crazy. It is so crazy. Hey, have you noticed that all of these old people in Washington are having memory lapses? Now it's Senator McConnell. He was standing there, he was talking, and all of a sudden he did a brain freeze, and he literally just stood there.
Let me ask you something, Paul.
Poor guy.
Seriously.
I felt sorry for him.
I do too. But you got to remember, these people are running our country.
I know.
I want you to put Joe Biden, Fetterman from Philadelphia, and now McConnell. Would you issue any one
of them? Don't forget Dianne Feinstein.
And Feinstein. Would you issue any of them a driver's license?
Are you kidding? Can you imagine
what
how many the people
heck
they will mow
doing
down?
Running this country?
Exactly. Poor Dianne Feinstein. She was just supposed to say "I." She got up and she started launching into a speech. She's 90 years
and
old.
And I feel sorry.
Someone's got to just stop this. And you know, you get to a certain point. If you can be 90 and have a clear head, great. But if you can't, and people can see it,
you know, there's
Biden is. We know Biden isn't working right. We know McConnell is slowing down. We know Feinstein's out of her head.
There are some at 70 years old that act like they're 50.
Oh yeah.
And there's some at 50 that act like they're 90.
No question.
So
no,
it's a case by case.
It's a case by
but
case.
But when you get somebody, one of our foremost leaders standing there freezing up, you don't think our our enemies and our allies? What if it was a national emergency and he just froze like that?
Yeah, so all of these things are going on. It highlights advanced age. It highlights that we have these long-termers that are just, as we say, you know, taking advantage of public funds all their lives. It's time for that to stop. All right, we're going to take our break. And when we come back, Kyle Brosnan of the Heritage Foundation, and we're going to talk to him about the Hunter Biden plea deal.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA-certified, and veteran-owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Freedom Works. Thank you so very much for being with us on a Friday. So, you know, Karine Jean-Pierre, who is the Joe Biden press secretary, normally evades any kind of an answer to any kind of a question. Have you noticed that? Well, like we've said many times, we're not going to get into that, and I refer you to such and such, and away she, you know, and she goes on to the next question, which she won't answer. And okay, well, she surprised everybody. She said yesterday President Biden would not pardon his son, would not pardon Hunter, if he gets convicted of any kind of a crime. Now, her comment came after she was asked about the possibility by a Fox News reporter. Guy's name was Mark Meredith. She said, or he said, "I know you said not a lot has changed since yesterday," meaning Wednesday, "and it's a personal matter, but from a presidential perspective, is there any possibility that the president would end up pardoning his son?" And she said, "No." And then she tried to move on. And he wanted to ask a follow-up. And she said, "I just said no. I just answered." So that puts her in a box to some extent, right?
Right.
I mean, and do you not honestly think that if Hunter Biden is found guilty of a crime and is sentenced to more than a day in jail, that his dad isn't going to intervene?
Her other favorite answer is, "Hunter Biden is a private citizen and we're not going to comment
on that." That's true.
You know what, though, Paul? Private citizens don't ride in Air Force One. Private citizens don't get to go to Camp David. Private citizens don't get to scrounge around the White House and leave their cocaine.
I guess you're right about that.
And they also don't get to hang around with other leaders of the country, or the world.
We have Kyle Brosnan with us. He is the chief counsel for the Heritage Foundation's Oversight Project. And by the way, the Oversight Project filed an amicus brief for a friend of the court opposing Hunter Biden's plea deal. And this comes, of course, on the heels of that judge, bless her, going, "What the heck kind of a thing you got handing me here today?"
Well, we are all thinking.
Kyle, welcome to Freedom Works.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for having me on.
It's our pleasure. This is really the most interesting
thing. And tell us, first of all, why did the Heritage Foundation decide to become involved in this Hunter Biden plea deal?
Sure. So just I want to take you back to March. So the Heritage Foundation Oversight Project, we submit Freedom of Information Act requests to get documents from the government to make them public, to show the public how the government works. We submitted a FOIA request in March requesting documents about the U.S. Attorney Weiss in Delaware, whether he sought special counsel status or sought to bring charges against Hunter Biden in somewhere other than Delaware. So fast forward to June, when the IRS whistleblowers come forth, they basically blow the lid off this thing and say, hey, Weiss did seek special counsel status, was denied, and sought to bring charges outside Delaware and was also denied. And there was a whole bunch of political interference from the Biden administration, Justice Department, Merrick Garland, etc. So we filed a lawsuit requesting those documents. In that lawsuit, the court said that there are 2,500 pages of documents on communications for those two topics I discussed earlier. So basically, there's a whole lot of communications potentially outlining political interference with the investigation of Hunter Biden. We filed a brief in Delaware to make the judge aware of that, so she should consider that in whether deciding whether or not to throw out the plea. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No. I was just going to say, well, maybe that played a part in the judge's decision to put a hold on this guilty plea that he was going to that Hunter was going to say.
So we did make a number of points in the brief that this agreement is premature at this point in time, given the raging political controversy on Capitol Hill, the potential that the Attorney General may have misled Congress, and Weiss himself may have misled Congress. And she tracked her arguments in delaying the plea, basically saying that, yes, this is premature. I was in the courtroom and I was sitting there and we thought to ourselves, you know, something is rotten in the state of Delaware. And the judge sniffed it out completely. And there were two big problems with the plea deal that led to her delaying it. The first is that the Biden attorneys thought there was a blanket immunity charge there. So that by agreeing to these charges, he would be absolved from any further prosecution from the multimillion-dollar foreign influence peddling scheme he ran. The government said no. So they didn't have a meeting of the minds, and the deal basically fell apart there. And then the second is sort of a procedural quirk that they tried to take a lot of decision-making out of the judge's hand, and the judge sort of sniffed the scheme out right away and put a stop to it.
You know, first of all, her antenna were up already, correct? She was aware that they might be trying to pull a fast one. Now, you guys gave, you know, sort of have been helping in opening up this information. She seems to be aware of it. Did they not try to bury a full get-out-of-jail card for Hunter Biden in the document that they wanted her to approve?
Yes. So the problem with it is that they linked the tax charge to the gun charge, basically. And so it's two tax misdemeanors, and the gun charge is a felony charge, which carries up to a decade in prison, I think. And so the key is that Biden was trying to agree to pleading guilty to everything on the condition that he wasn't sentenced to jail time for the gun charge. And the judge, that basically, and there's a certain rule of criminal procedure that you could make that plea to the judge. And if you do something like that, typically the judge has the discretion to reject it, delay it, or accept it. But the problem is that they tried to submit that agreement under a different rule. And she sniffed it out and said, no way, I think this is supposed to be under the first rule, so you need to write me a briefing to explain why this should be accepted under the rule that basically gives the judge less power to consider the plea.
Yeah. Yeah, because she didn't want to be responsible, and she didn't think it was her purview to have something come back if he was charged and brought back again, and put her in a vulnerable position. In other words, I am a judge. That's all I am. I'm not somebody that should be a party to the construction of this document.
That's correct. So part of the plea agreement with the gun required the judge to make a finding. So basically, the plea agreement said Hunter Biden is not supposed to violate more laws and, you know, seek to obtain another firearm. But they brought her into it to basically make a finding if he were to procure a firearm, a judge would have to, she would have to potentially make a finding that he did before the executive branch can enforce the law. And that poses a whole bunch of separation of powers issues. And so on one hand, they're trying to kick her out of the decision-making process by using this procedural quirk when they're not supposed to. And on the other hand, they're bringing her in to potentially assess further penalties moving forward when she's not supposed to either. So it's a rotten deal. She sniffed it out right away. At the judge, she performed. She was so prepared. She wrote a meticulous record. It was incredible, her questioning. She sniffed this deal out right away.
So you were there, Kyle, right? You were in court?
Yes, sir.
Wow. Did you know right away? I mean, as soon as the thing started, did you sense right away that she was ready for a bear trap?
To be honest, no. So I thought, they were talking about the rule that they were for submitting the rule under. I thought we were dead in the water.
Yeah, because
but then
yeah, go ahead.
But basically, when she started asking questions, kind of getting to the bottom of sort of the dirty deal with the rule they were trying to play, the dirty trick they were trying to play procedurally, then we got more hope. Biden's attorneys were jumping up and down throughout. They were feverishly sort of speaking with each other. And as the longer the conversation went on, we were more hopeful that she was going to delay, and she ultimately did. I mean, these things usually last 20 minutes. We were in there for 3 hours.
Yeah, I mean, I was watching, through, obviously, you were in court, but we were sitting there watching on our TVs, and somebody said, this is taking too long. There must be something going on in there, because he was supposed to walk in and, sign, the thing would be signed, and he'd walk out a free guy,
The interesting part is that they didn't even have a meeting of the minds as to what they're pleading guilty to. So you're supposed to know what you're pleading guilty to. Hunter was asked a series of questions, and the judge was able to force out a disagreement between Biden's attorneys and the government on whether or not on what he was pleading guilty to.
Oh, wow.
So it was incredible.
Isn't that something? We're talking with Cal Brosnan. He is the chief counsel for the Heritage Foundation's Oversight Project. They filed an amicus brief, Heritage did, with the court, protesting the plea deal that Hunter Biden wanted to do. Another thing, Kyle, and this would have got my antenna up if I was the judge, did she not get a phone call from Hunter Biden's team, somebody, some woman or something, that wanted to tell the judge that they were going to do this, that, or the other thing, and they misrepresented themselves and said that they were part of the prosecution team or something like that?
Yeah, so we were not the only person to submit an amicus brief. The House Ways and Means Committee did as well. They were the ones that had taken the testimony from the two IRS whistleblowers that basically raised a lot of the political interference, things I brought up earlier. And so Hunter Biden's team has moved to have that brief and record seal because they are arguing that there's personal tax information in there, even though I don't believe there is. I've read it. But there was there's an allegation that somebody from Hunter Biden's legal team called the court pretending to be the lawyer for the House committee.
Yes.
Asking them to take it down. So she made basically issued an order saying, like, you better explain yourself or else I'm going to impose sanctions. That brief was submitted before the hearing, and Hunter Biden's lawyers chalked it up to a misunderstanding.
Oh,
and
wow.
So I don't know how she's ruled on that yet.
Okay. It's just absolutely amazing. All the things going on. And, of course, both sides for Hunter Biden are in collusion with each other. You mentioned earlier, if I heard you right, that the prosecuting attorney in Delaware on the Hunter Biden situation was turned down when he tried to go outside of Delaware to gather information. I thought that he did not attempt that and claimed that if he had gone...
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No. But I've heard two different stories on that. One is that he was not turned down. The other is, I think the whistleblower said he was actually limited in his ability to go out to gather information outside of Delaware. Maybe you can explain that.
Sure. So that's part of the controversy that we're trying to uncover here. The whistleblowers have said under oath, and they've provided documents backing up their claim, saying that the attorney in Delaware was prevented by Biden-appointed Justice Department officials from taking investigatory steps. These include doing things like filling search warrants of a storage facility in Northern Virginia and bringing charges outside of Delaware. So his charge as the U.S. attorney for Delaware means he could only bring charges in Delaware. But for this, for the period of the investigation, we're looking at tax years from 2014 to 2019. In some of those years, the proper venue to bring charges is D.C. or Central District of California. Under those circumstances, he would need the permission of the Biden-appointed U.S. attorney for those districts to prosecute Hunter Biden in those jurisdictions. So he has sought, the whistleblowers who are the criminal investigators working this case, say that he has sought bring those cases in the proper jurisdiction and was blocked. Weiss and the Attorney General have said otherwise, both in letters to Congress and the Attorney General's case testimony under oath before Congress. So, somebody's not telling the truth here. The whistleblowers have provided contemporaneous documentation to support their claim. They've gone under oath twice before Congress. The Justice Department is obstructing any congressional inquiry into this. They're fighting us tooth and nail in court, from getting to the bottom of this. There's 2,500 pages of communication that exist on these topics, and the Justice Department is fighting us in court to prevent them from being released. That's a lot of communications. I'm a former congressional investigator. The emails and the communications in real time tell the story, and that's where the truth is. I mean, if there's nothing to see here, and this is truly as independent as the Attorney General and Karine Jean-Pierre say it is, then let's show the document.
Right.
Let's see what they say. They may corroborate your claim. But we are being fought, you know, it's trench warfare at this point in terms of trying to get the information out of this administration. So we're in court in D.C. on those, and we're going to continue fighting.
Yeah. Do we know where we're going to get to from here on all of this? I mean, I'm glad exactly. Thank God you guys were there fighting to, you know, to keep this thing open and honest. Do you think ultimately because of this that... Well, dare I say this, that it could lead to consideration of Joe Biden's impeachment?
Well, the speaker is talking about opening an impeachment inquiry. I think, you know, I'll believe it when I see it. I mean, we're also supposed to impeach Christopher Wray and Christopher Wray in attempt to impeach Mayorkas and impeach the Attorney General. So we'll see with that on the congressional front. You know, look, Joe Biden is implicated in this, right? That FBI 1023 form that Senator Grassley put out, you know, basically the quid pro quo corruption, that's the quid. You have the person committing the bribe saying that they gave Joe Biden $5 million. So, I mean...
It seems so completely obvious. We got Biden on tape saying that he was going to hold off on $1 billion to Ukraine unless the Burisma energy prosecutor was fired when he was vice president.
Right.
My God, what... Anyway... It's just
right.
Yeah, it's just amazing.
So I mean, if I'm Congress, I'm serving deposition subpoenas on everyone on the prosecutorial team because, you know, they need to get to the bottom of what this deal is. But the Justice Department has obstructed Congress, you know, every step of the way here. And so, you know, Congress needs to keep fighting. We're going to continue through our lawsuit for the document. And in Delaware, Hunter Biden's lawyers and the government have to submit a brief within about 30 days. Sort of explain the procedural kind of shenanigans they tried to pull on the judge here.
Wow. What a story. Kyle, thank you so very much for coming on. Please keep up the good fight. God bless you. We need people like
you
and the Heritage Foundation doing what you're doing. Yes, sir. Thank you.
Have a great day.
You too. Kyle Brosnan. All right. Going to take our break. When we come back, boy, we got a lot of things going on. We're going to look, by the way, at one of the 20th century's greatest political authors, Ayn Rand, who predicted America's current political crisis.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Our Freedom Works radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop. If you own a home, I bet you're flooded with tree service mailers. So who do you call? ArborLife Tree Service is my choice. When I needed a bunch of trees taken down, they did it safely and at a great price. But ArborLife not only removes trees, they plant trees, they trim them, they prune, they spray, and they fertilize as well. They're ISA certified, they're veteran owned. I'm telling you, you can't go wrong. Call them for a free estimate. 727-330-1999. That's 727-330-1999. ArborLife Tree Service. They really will go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Works on a Friday. Hope it's cool where you are, but I doubt that it is. I hope you're staying cool. Boy, oh boy, we've had a very hot summer, have we not? Well, Ayn Rand. Ayn Rand is one of our heroes. I don't mind saying that. If you go to my website, you'll see a picture of Ayn Rand on there. Wish I'd had the opportunity to talk with her. I think I'd give anything for having an opportunity like that. She came out with two very important novels, and I say novels because they were written as fiction, but the concept was to talk about individualism. Ayn Rand, who, by the way, grew up as a child, born in Russia, and came over to the United States as a young woman. She got out of that whole situation with the Russian Revolution because she was born and around in 1917 when the Tsar was toppled and communism came into play. But she escaped to America as a young woman. She wrote two books, The Fountainhead and Atlas Shrugged. Both of them, they tried to make movies out of them, but because of the content of the novels, it's very hard to portray philosophical thinking in a movie. But they tried to do it, and both of them had to do with the man's individualism and his right to be able to create something, own that product, profit from that product, no matter what other people might try to do to him. So here is a story, and I want to credit Carrie Byrne of Fox News, who wrote a story, Five Ways Ayn Rand Predicted America's Political Crisis, From Parents Spurned to Cancel Culture. And Carrie says this, many foundational pillars of society in America appear to be crumbling right now before our eyes, weakened by an erosive army of social, economic, and political forces. The deterioration of traditional cultural norms and the social upheaval that's followed, from the living room to the classroom to the boardroom, was no surprise to Ayn Rand scholars. The Russian-born American author and philosopher, predicted with haunting accuracy many of the nation's current crises. Among her observations, government would encroach on parental rights, stifle academic and scientific research, and fuel a dangerous mentality of victimhood. This is Yaron Brook, who is chairman of the Ayn Rand Institute. He says, she understood that history is moved by ideas, and if you have rotten ideas, you have rotten outcomes. She understood that culture, society, and politics are shaped by philosophy. And when she saw the philosophical trends of the 40s and the 50s, she knew where it would eventually lead. The fact that she saw troubled future amid the euphoric post-World War II glow of America's global hegemony makes her insight even more remarkable. She understood that history is moved by ideas, and if you have rotten ideas, you've got rotten outcomes. They go on in this story to talk about five ways that she predicted America's political future. Number one, she foresaw America's failure in education. And I'm talking about the fact that she was looking at it when we were, at that time, still the leaders in the world in education. Because, again, she was a product of the 40s and the 50s and the early 60s. She said, centralized educational bureaucracy has reached deeply into our local education, to the quantifiable detriment of the system and the nation's school children. The creation of the Federal Department of Education in 1979, to cite one example, has been followed by a massive reduction in the number of local school districts and local power over education. And let's see, everyone knows that American schools are failing, and they cannot even teach children to read anymore. He says, it is no surprise that kids growing up feeling anxious, helpless, and act out, and that parents are frustrated. The problem goes back more than a century to the injection of a corrupt philosophical approach to education, and Ayn Rand exposed that problem long ago. So she was talking about taking away local control of schools. Way, way back. And we've talked about this many times with the Department of Education, something that is not helping but hurting children. And the school teachers' unions, they're not helping kids. You coming out of public schools these days, you can barely read, barely do math. You don't know anything about civics. Nothing. It's scary. It's scary. We're getting worse and worse. I'm going to mention one other point. We'll continue to talk about Ayn Rand in future programs, but a second thing about her looking into her crystal ball. Rand warned against government encroaching on parental rights and authority. She said at one time, the government has no right to interfere in the upbringing of a child, which is entirely the responsibility and the right of the parent. When did she say that? She said that back in the 50s. So she saw some of the problems going on back then. So anyway, just a brief look today into some of the things that Ayn Rand saw coming. And we'll talk later in later shows about some of the other things. In the meantime, before we go to break, as you'll get a kick out of this, there's an NBC report. They did a report on the need for safe spaces outdoors at campgrounds for people, especially black people, because apparently if a black family goes to a campground, they might be threatened by all the Trump signs that they will see.
Good Lord.
And the flags hanging off the tents and the cars. You know, with the banners and everything else. And so the NBC report spotlighted black outdoorsy groups seeking to reclaim the joys of nature without experiencing harassment or discrimination. So there you go.
If there are black families that have Trump flags, do they have to hang out with the other people and not their friends?
I mean, you mean you're going to go to a campground, see a political banner, and it's going to ruin your weekend?
What are they suggesting? We're going to run into a black family carrying a Biden flag?
Yeah, well, they might see that. Well,
I don't think that's going to happen.
I tell you what, the report was titled Meet the Black Outdoorsy Groups Reclaiming the Joys of Nature, focusing on the efforts to create, quote, safe spaces, unquote, for minority campers and nature lovers.
Hey, are we not going backwards? What are we going to pull into the campground? And there's going to be a sign that says, whites to the right with flags.
This is exactly the point. The further they
get over that,
exactly, you got it. The further we get into this, the more we're starting to segregate. That's the thing. We're segregating ourselves because of all of this nonsense. Just crazy. All right, let us take our break. When we come back, we are going to let you know the top 10 vacation spots that Americans are flocking to this summer.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA certified, and veteran-owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
Our Freedom Works radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back for the final segment on a Friday of Freedom Works, and we thank you so very much for being with us. By the way, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time, Freedom Works. And we hope you can listen to us and that you have time during that period. But if you don't, thanks to Big Ed, you can go to our website anytime. Anytime your little heart desires, and listen to any of our shows, because God love him, he puts all our shows on podcast. Go to OurFreedomWorks.com, O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. Click on the podcast button. Ed's got all the shows. He's got the most recent show at the top. You'll know who the guest is. You'll know the top 10, everything you want to know. All right. So, Ed, I think we got something going, I guess, and I don't know much about it, but do we have another issue with the Star Spangled Banner and a sports team, or what's going on?
There was a little bit of hype, you know, for the women's world soccer team there, because they were going against Argentina, whatever it was, Netherlands, I think it was. And that was on Wednesday night. And now it was on Fox, so it had preempted whatever I was going to watch.
Oh, yeah.
So I said, well, I don't like kickball to begin with, but, you know, maybe I'll watch it. Starts out, I mean, it started, as soon as I turned, the national anthem started. And, you know, the camera goes down the line with the team, with each one. Some had their hands over their hearts. Some of them had their arms folded behind them, looking down at the ground. Others were mouthing the national anthem, like you're supposed to, like in baseball, to put the caps on it. So the ones that were protesting had their arms behind their back. Now, you got to remember, the women's soccer team has got that Megan Rapinoe, whatever her name is.
Miss Purple Hair?
Yes. You know, she hates America. Not enough is done for the LGBTQRST group. Women aren't paid as much as men for sports and whatnot. So she was leading that. Now, not only did that happen, and it's sad because when they go to the USA team, you see them, half of them standing with their arms behind their back looking down the ground, and you go to the Netherlands team, and they're mouthing their national anthem
patriotic
with their arms, their hand over their heart. So that's done. I stomached that. And I'm like, well, now Fox goes into a commercial dedicated to Megan Rapinoe for her service, all she's done for women's sports, the LGBTQRST group, and other things. And I had enough. That was it.
Why did Fox do that, do you think?
I have no idea.
You don't need to get into the political situation.
I turned it and I thought,
they're to watch a soccer game.
And good for them. Whoever watched it, the most boring thing in the world is watch a 0-0 tie.
Oh, wow.
It ended in a 1-1 tie.
It did?
Yeah.
Was this the world women's
soccer?
Yeah,
I'm not going to watch it.
Well,
no.
This Megan Rapinoe has certainly been getting a lot of attention. I guess she's going to be retiring after the end of this year.
Yes, that's why they did the commercial.
They did
for
a special
her.
On her and everything. But she's just, I'll tell you what, she's stepping in it.
It had all Black Lives Matter posters in it, this commercial. Come on.
Yeah. We got to get politics out of the sports. We don't need it in sports. We got enough of it going on outside of sports.
We can't.
You want to get away from it. It's even in the movies. You can't even watch a movie without some political cause being dumped on your face. You know?
One group saying we need to move forward and we want to move forward. You can't keep moving. You can't move forward if you keep thumping the past. And things that have happened in the past.
Right.
And keep
bringing, it's tearing off the scab
exactly,
all the time.
Exactly. Putting the Band-Aid on and off and on and off and off, you know?
Right. I agree. Before we get into our top 10, Ed, speaking about sports, do we have any local, is there any good news with the Rays? Are they getting out of their funk?
They won the first one against Miami here, and then they lost the second one. Now, they're on the road for 9 games. They've got 3 in Houston.
Oh, that's tough.
4 at the Yankees.
Wow.
And
this is a huge series for them.
And then I can't remember where the other two are. But it's
we're going to find out what they're made of.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The rest of their schedule, all against teams above 500.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Are they in second place in their division right now?
Yes, they are.
Okay, well, they got to turn things around. All right. I guess it's about time for our... is there anything else going on? I see we have a minute or two before the 5-minute mark here, but if there's not, we can...
Well, the Bucks open training camp today.
Oh, they do?
Yeah.
Okay, now remind me, who's their quarterback?
Well, supposedly Baker from Mayfield, unless he loses it for some reason.
What's his name?
Baker Mayfield. Remember the one that Cleveland drafted?
Oh, okay.
You know, the commercial about him living in the stadium, and that was his...
Oh,
house,
wow.
You know?
Okay.
Didn't turn out too
well. Well, it's a brand new era.
Yep.
Brand new era for the Tampa Bay Bucks. All right, Ed. These are the top, you know, this is summer now, and people are, we're in the midst of people taking all of their trips all over the place. Google, it's called Google Flights, released information recently on the most popular domestic flight searches ahead of the season. So these are the places that presumably, after searching, people have decided to go to. It's the top 10 domestic travel destinations for the summer. So here we go. Number 10. The Windy City is number 10. Chicago. Lots to see. And especially, it's a beautiful, they have a beautiful lakefront. Their buildings... and great restaurants. So, I mean, if you really, there's lots of things you can do in Chicago. They're right on Lake Michigan, and in the summer you swim in there, and they got a great beach and the whole bit.
I heard on some days everything at CVS is free.
In certain areas, you're right. Unfortunately, I guess. Number 9. I guess you could call this domestic, although you got to go across the Pacific. Honolulu.
I would have thought that was the number one, to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to go to Hawaii until they get
the
bill.
Well, it's the trick. The trick, yeah, it's not. It's the cost. So
yeah.
It would be, if Honolulu was just, you know, a puddle jump, yes. It ain't a puddle
because
jump.
Because most people have to get to...
It's a long way.
Get to California to get there first.
Yeah, it's 3 hours for us to get to California. Then you go from there. Number 8. Hey, you go over there from time to time, Denver.
Yeah.
Great for skiing, but in the summer it's good too.
Yeah, people hike in the mountains a lot.
Yeah. I can believe that. We got the Rockies and the whole bit there. Number 7, our first Florida. city, Fort Lauderdale. Now, I don't actually know, other than you're on the water, what is there about Fort Lauderdale itself that would make it attractive?
I guess there's some beaches there that are not quite as busy as going to Miami.
Yeah, maybe because of that.
Cost-effective to go there instead of Miami.
Is it safer than Miami?
Anything's safer.
Yeah.
I think Chicago these days might be safer than Miami.
Number six. I don't know why they're going there still, but Los Angeles is still number six. LA used to be a place to go, but I don't think I'd want to go there anymore. You know, with all of the trouble and the whole California experience and the danger. All right, number five. Well, speaking of Miami, Miami is number five. So people are still going to Miami, and there's lots of good things there. I guess when you think of Miami, don't you really think of Miami Beach?
Yes.
Which is, by the way, a separate city.
Yeah, you got the Strip.
You got the Strip there, yeah. Have you been there?
No.
Miami Beach?
No.
Never?
No.
Wow. Number four, Seattle. That's another place that's had all kinds of trouble with, you know, demonstrations and the like. You know, but it's a beautiful... I've been there several times. It's a beautiful city.
In the summer, if you want to go cool off somewhere, it would be a perfect place to go.
Yeah, and it's a great city, actually. It's very cosmopolitan. No question about that. Number three. Well, get your dice and get your cards and blah, 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 and go to Las Vegas. Because, of course, Las Vegas is going to be on the list.
I've got friends that go all the time.
You've been there?
I have no...
No desire?
I would go to see the lights. But they go to gamble, and I'm just not into gambling.
Yeah, I'm not into it.
Not into it at all.
Would you go for some of the shows?
Probably not.
Yeah. Okay, number two.
Maybe a gunpoint, I don't know.
Well, number two is the Big Apple. God. And since you grew up there near Long Island, et cetera, you've been there.
Well, New York, there's so many places to go.
Yeah,
I mean, everybody wants to, you know, visit the 911 Memorial and go, you know, on the island itself, or not the island, but, you know, Bronx and places like that and see... Certain, you know, everybody wants to go to the Statue of Liberty, and so you got Niagara Falls is New York too.
Quick story: when I was a little boy, and we came over from Canada, one of the first places we ended up staying was the Barbizon Plaza Hotel in New York City when my dad was working for Time Magazine.
Mm.
Yeah. Okay, Ed. What do you think is the number one top domestic travel destination in the summer?
Oh no. I don't know.
You do, but you just forgot.
Oh.
I know you know. You know it.
No.
No.
No. Blank.
Put your Mickey Mouse ears on and think about
Orlando?
It.
Orlando.
Yeah.
There you go.
There you go. Orlando is number one. Walt Disney World, et cetera, and Universal Studios and all kinds of things. But that, not surprisingly, is number one. All right, my friends, thank you so very much for listening. We will indeed be back on Monday. Have a great weekend. Drive safely. And please remember, freedom works.
Forbidden anymore. Don't let the world in outside. Don't let a moment go by.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1.
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3.
Listen.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Steve Kathan. Former President Trump says there's a two-tier system of injustice.